thank the Lord for salvation. That's a good day. This is a day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice in it. Thank the Lord for being a part of the family of God this morning. Appreciate the mercy of God, the power of God that changes our life from a life of wrong to a life of right. Gives us something that causes us to love one another. Brother was mentioned about love this morning. You know, he that, I believe, said loveth God, loveth him that is begotten of God. Something like that. I may not have it just ABC, but it's close. And it's something about the love of God. It's different from all love. There's nothing like it in all the earth. And it's pure. It's clean. It's right, and it works right. Something that you can wake up in the middle of the night and begin to think about what God has done for you. Yes. Lay there and have a good time right in the bed, nobody around, just thinking about the goodness of God. Amen. Salvation. Surely it's a miracle this morning that we are saved. We're here this morning. Yes. When I left home, I said, Lord, I want you to help me. If I can get to Bakersfield, I want to be blessed by being there, and I want to be a blessing while I'm there. That's all I have in mind, is to be a blessing to the saints and be blessed with them, along with them. Amen. Appreciate the love of God this morning. It's, you know, you can tell all you can tell, and then you just scratch the surface about it. Yes. And so we thank the Lord for the mercy of God, time being well as it is with us this morning. Get your Bibles, yeah. Read a little bit for us. We want to encourage the saints this morning. We've been preaching against sin all of these times, that we desire with all of our heart to encourage the saints this morning to hold fast. We're living in a time that great winds are blowing all directions. You know, and sometimes you, on those planes, we hit a, what do you call it, a crosswind or something, and that thing, that's kind of frightening when it drops down. You be going one direction, all at once comes across. It's kind of frightening, and those winds, those things that the enemy is blowing across our pathway here and there, he know he's doomed. Some say he was in heaven one time. He never was, and he never will be. And there's no way he can get in there, because God said, I am the door. I am the door. By me, any man enter in, he shall be saved. So him being the door, said again, I open, no man can shut. I shut it, and no man can open. So him being God with all power, he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And we need not worry about the devil. I said, if the devil was in heaven, if he was in there once, he'd get back in there again. And I don't want to be where he is. I'm having enough trouble out of that fellow down here now on the ground. And if he's in heaven or wherever he's in, I don't want to be where the devil is. There is a happy world above where there's joy and peace and love. And the devil, all he do is steal, kill, destroy, lie, deceive. And so wherever he is, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. We just know he's never been there and he never will get there. Thank the Lord for that. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. No sin will never enter there. And heaven is a place we're prepared for, a prepared people. Yes. We come here in this time world, battle the storms of life, and by the grace of God, we can win the battle. By the help of the Lord, we are going to win the battle. The battle is already won. Just God help us to claim the victory, because Jesus fought the battle through and gave us the victory. Devil was whipped when the Lord cried out, "It's finished." He's whipped right there. From here on out, now you can have a complete, total, full, free salvation all along life's journey. Appreciate the mercy of God. Appreciate every one of us sitting here this morning, pressed out. May God encourage your hearts to hold on and hold fast to the Savior. We hold on, God is surely going to hold out. because he's God, and beside him there is no other. He is one, that's one father. Never desert his children and his wife. One husband, he never leaves his wife. And the church of God is something about, well, I believe she is the bride. Instead of the bride, he's the bridegroom. And this bride don't never grow old and go feeble. No, she don't never grow old and grow feeble.
Thank the Lord.
May the Lord help us, because Christ prepared this bride for himself. You talk about a master builder. He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
Thank the Lord for it. Get your Bible so you can read a little bit for us. Someone get Ephesians 6, 10 through the 14th, I believe.
Ephesians 6:10.
Hold it for us. And Genesis 12 and 1. First Timothy 6:18 and 19.
1 Timothy 6:18-19.
Galatians 5:1. That'll get us started by the help of the Lord. We saints of God, we are running a race. Now you talk about running for our life. That's a saying, but it's a true saying. We are running for our life.
Yes.
May God help us to fear God. Fear sometimes gives you speed and power. So may the Lord help us to fear God with all that's within us this morning. Because if you find a person that don't fear God, he's not going to obey him. And if he don't love him, he's not going to obey him. But we fear the Lord this morning. We have the fear of God upon our hearts. We are afraid to do what's wrong.
Yes, Lord.
And we are afraid to stop. We're afraid not to go on. Because we come to service and we can learn something every time we come into the service.
Yes.
Learn something more about God.
Amen.
More about His way, about the way, pathway to heaven. And about the things we need to do to please Him well. And just it's on and on. And may God help us, because I believe it says something about it over there where when John the Baptist and the Savior first came, he said, they that sat in darkness saw a great light.
Yes.
A great light. And he said, I am the light of the world. But God bless our hearts, he didn't stop there. When he got ready to leave here, he said, ye are the light of the world. He gave that job to you and I now to shine. You know, there's a broadcasting studio there, a big building where the church people belong. Rex Humbard, he was broadcasting coast to coast, but he's not there anymore. They got a building over there. Some of the saints went, I didn't go. Could have went, but I didn't go. They say it's so well lit that you can't see a shadow on the floor anywhere. No kind of shadow. The way they got those lights arranged. And they took the saints, let the saints go in there and look the place over. Even, you know, every time you walk, if a light's behind you, you're right, there's no shadow. All right, now if man made light, he can set something up like that where you see no shadow. It's just nothing. It's all light. God bless us this morning. We have a great responsibility, saints of God, to show to the people that we are the light of the world. There are many people who will never see God only through the saints of God. And our responsibility is to show them God. Let them see that there's a better way. God has something better for them than their carousing around and drinking and so forth. And may the Lord help us out this morning. He said one place, let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and then give God the glory. All right, a light. A light is a wonderful thing when you're out, you see somewhere, we came up to Yukon and worked our way down to Los Angeles, and out, going out used to be old 66. I don't know what it is now. Out there, you don't see no light but the one that you are on your car until you meet another car. It's for miles and miles out there. Now, I guess that's desert out there, I reckon. I've never been across it once. But when you see a light, you can be glad. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, I was so glad when we come over that, whatever, I guess it's a little rise of some kind. That city sure looked good because we've been in the dark so long out in that desert. Saw people out there thumbing, out in the middle of that desert, thumbing. May God help us this morning. Ye are the light of the world. So let your light shine. That is, when they mistreat you, you treat them nice. When they talk about you, pray for them. Many things you're going to, Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. They have nothing to hate him for because he was that true light. The true light that now shineth through you and I. And so, if they hated him without a cause, they are going to hate you. You know if they hated him, they're going to hate you. But don't get weary in well-doing. Don't give down. Don't give up. The more you are despised, remember this is the way he went. Didn't he say, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done? And so forth and so on. All right, when they hated him, he loved them the more. He loved them so well that he gave his life. That God gave the Son gave his life, that you and I could be sitting here free this morning from our sin and condemnation. This morning. He died way back there, but power of the blood of Jesus Christ will reach unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. Said we have started to heaven on the good old Bible way, and our pace shall not slacken as we go. We shall trust Christ to guide us while his counsel we obey. He will protect us from the wily, tempting foe. We shall run till the goal of life is won. We'll never look behind us as we go. At the ending of the race, we shall see our Savior's face, and the mysteries of heaven we shall know. Oh, brother, this is good to my soul. And if something gets better as time goes on, make you love God more and appreciate God more, appreciate the working of God, and that helps you love God's people, his children. The family of God. May the Lord help us. All right. Whoever had that Genesis 12:1, we'd like to have that first. May the Lord bless us and help us out. Whoever have it, you read it.
Genesis 12:1.
Yes, sir.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from the kindred, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and a land that I will shew unto thee.
Mm-hmm. Read on down through this fourth verse, brother.
And I will make of thee a great nation.
Yes.
And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran.
That's good enough. Well, we know the story there. But the important part in this is the Lord told Abraham to get out from your kinfolks. Leave them. I've got something better for you. Abraham believed God. Some place in the New Testament it said he went out not knowing where he was going. I believe that's right. He didn't know where he was going, but he heard the voice of God. And when he heard the voice of God speak to him, he obeyed. Obedience is better than all the sacrifices we can give. Obedience unto God and unto God's word is better than all of that. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And so, When the Lord talked to him, 75 years old, get away from your kinfolks.
You know, some people like to stick around with the kinfolks. You tell me to leave my kinfolks, I know you're going wrong now. You're getting off somewhere.
The worst treatment that I ever had in my life come from my close kinfolks. Now I'm living way off out yonder. And the closest real close kinfolk to me is about 1,100 miles. And I feel sorry for him. He's my brother. Man's lost, sick in his head. Had three types of diseases, and all three of them is killers. And he don't want to know nothing about God. But may God bless him. What I'm saying is, a lot of time, we need to get away from our kinfolks. I don't mean desert them and leave them done like that. You're a better friend to your kinfolks once you get God in your soul and your world before you got him. You're going to be a real friend to him now. But I can tell you one thing. We have a family back home. Come on, they're saved. Husband and children, all of them wandering around. And they love to hang around. Some of them hang around all the time because they got money, I guess, where they appear. And one day, the kin folks, every Sunday afternoon, they'd crowd in there to hinder the sister from coming to service because they're close kin folks. And her husband, he'd entertain them, they'd around there. So one day I told her she missed a couple of services. And I asked her, I said, what's the problem? She said, well, Sonny, my kin folks, they keep. I said, let me tell you something. All you got to do is, when they show up there, do it every Sunday evening, every Sunday afternoon, getting close to service, you tell them, I'm going to service and I want every one of you to come go with me. We're going to have a good time tonight. Come go with me. I said, you do that about three times. You won't be. And two times was enough. They didn't come back no more. They haven't been there in been 2 or 3 years, right? If you make it comfortable for the devil, he'll move in. Live so and get him where that you'll put God on his case. Pray for him with him listening. Tell him about salvation, how he deliver you from sin. What he'll do for the soul of you, and let him hear it. I'll guarantee you they won't be hanging around your house very much. You don't have to tell them to get out. They're going to move up themselves. Because they do not want to hear you all. Every time I see you, you're talking about God. Yes, he's good to talk about. They that fear the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard in a book of remembrance. Was written for them who thought upon his name. You know when saints of God get together and talk about God is listening? That's good for him to hear us talking about God. But some people love to gossip. And it's impossible to sing that this old stuff that you carry on, just hash it over and over and just keep it telling it, keep gossiping. You're going to tell something that's not true after a while. Now, if you want to talk about God, you can talk about him all you want to. Because you're talking to someone else that knows about God, but you get out and gossip. Get on that shoo-shoo line, as they call it, and just don't know when to quit. I'm going to tell you something. Saints of God, I know you know it. Some of us in you know it better than I do, no doubt, and longer than I have. But some of you may not know it. When you get to talking, just a normal conversation, there comes a time that the Lord is going to tell you, you better stop. You better quit. It's time to stop. Listen for it. And if you listen that time and heard it, you'll do it the next time. And you'll learn to know this is God talking. I've talked long. I've got to go. I've got something to do. And the one sister, she loves to talk on that telephone. You can call her sometime for 2 hours. Or maybe longer. Get up the first thing in the morning. Get on that phone. Somebody was about to sick unto death, and they called in. I called and called and called, and I finally had to get in my car and go up there and ask her to get off the telephone and got a hold of the rest of the folks. We need to pray because somebody was sick unto death. But it don't seem, nothing seemed to stop her from that. And I've told her, you can't talk to these unsaved people for hours at a time. You're going to fool around and tell something that's not so.
over and over and over. Foolishness.
The more we empty out, the things we give up,
yes,
give it out, get rid of it, God pour in the grace. And that's what it means to sell out. Go and sell what you got. Sell all of it. Don't hold anything back. Let it all go. It's going to work some good for you. And you'll find yourself growing and increasing in the things of God the more you sell out. And that's what I love to search the scriptures for, to find where I'm not fed, where I'm not getting along so well. And that's the thing I want to find. So I can get rid of it. Crucify it. And when you can come to the place where you can say, I am crucified with Jesus. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When you can come to that point, I'll guarantee you, you won't have to get up every morning and tromp yourself down. Mm-mm. I know yourself is going to be sticking around, but that's a fella, you crucify him, you kill him, or he kill you. Get rid of him. And so the God of all grace has called you and I to live right. And we'll do that by real obedience unto God's word. All right. 6 and 10, whoever have that one. Abraham obeyed. Went out. You remember the story of Abraham? It was, yeah, I can sit and read that for just time after time. And every time I read it, I get something out of it. That one there, and there's another place. I think he was 99 years old when the Lord appeared unto him, or something like that, 90-something. Every time when he talked to Abraham, Abraham obeyed. And I've said that to say this. He read there, I'll make you a blessing. The nations is going to be blessed through you. And I'll bless them that bless you. The ones that that do a deed, a good deed to a saint of God, God is going to bless that person. I know a saved man right now. I mean, an unsaved man. He wasn't saved, but he lived in one of our big cities where a congregation of saints was there. And he was making big money. He showed me his books, his intake. I'd heard he's making good money, but he showed me he was making money going and coming. All kinds of money. Done it legal. He was in a business. And he was giving it to that congregation. Gave them big money. He wasn't saved, but his mother was. And the more he gave to that congregation, the more the Lord blessed him to make money. And something happened. I don't know what happened. And he stopped giving money, and he went down. He just barely is hanging on. And I think now that he told me the last time I talked to him at length that somebody beat him out of a boxcar load of metal materials. And he never was able to get it back. He's just down. He just barely is getting along now. But what I'm saying is, God say, whatsoever good thing any man do, he shall receive the same of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, saved or unsaved. God will bless people if they be good to the saints. That's the reason why I exhort people, if you backslide, don't leave the saints. Stay around. They will be an umbrella over you to an extent. And you never know when you sit there and God see you are interested in him and his work in some way, somehow. If you'll be honest, God will save you. Don't leave. Don't leave the house of God. Stick around because God is in that place. You get in trouble, the saints of God will go with their heart to try to pray you out of it. But if you've done wrong, you're going to suffer for the wrong you've done. Problem, sick. I had a brother-in-law way back, young. I was too small to know him at that time. He was sick unto death out in Oklahoma, and the doctor told his parents, I've done all I can do with that boy. He's going to die. And the boy laying in the bed, he heard the doctor when he told his parents that. And when the doctor left, he said, Papa, I want you to put me in a wagon and take me down there where Brother Robinson is. Anybody who knew Brother Robinson? Did you know Brother Robinson? You heard of him anyhow. Old Brother Henry Robinson.
He was holding a revival under Brush Arbor. Been along there a lot of times. It's old Brush Arbor alongside the road. And he was up in the pulpit preaching when he come in. They brought the boy right on in on an old mattress and laid him down on the floor right in front of the pulpit. Brother Robson came down out of the pulpit, anointed that child and prayed for him, and he's living today about 99 years old, 95, and he's not saved. Stumbling around out there in Oklahoma doing nothing. And the doctor told him, he's going to die, that's all I can do. God is real. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm talking about. Stay among the saints. Even if you backslide, stay with them. Do what you can to help them out. I'll bless you if you be a blessing to them. All right, start reading 6:10, that Ephesians, whoever has that one.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Read on down through.
Put on the whole arm of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yes.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole arm of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
That's far enough. That's a lot of good in there. We just go right down the line. From verse to verse, but the Lord said, be strong. I want you to be strong. But the less you can see of yourself, the more God you'll see. What we do can do, what the scripture says, we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthen us. And put on the whole armor of God. While going through this world, we need to be well armed. Well armed. You take a man in this time world, he's going out to do some dirt. He gets his pistol. He spins that cylinder around. Sometimes he flop it open and flop it out, see if it's all loaded. He put it on his side. He's going out there to carry out his plans because he thinks, I'm well armed. All right, you and I are traveling through this wilderness of sin. We need to be well armed, not with a pistol. But we need to be well armed with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Filled with the love of God and with power in the soul to withstand in the evil day. Well, what is the evil day? All the days look like they're evil now. You very seldom hear any good news unless it's from one congregation to another among the saints. But I can remember reading in a history book that years ago, if you were not a Christian, you couldn't get a job teaching school. I don't remember whether that was here or in England. And over in England, there for many, many years, if you chewed tobacco, you could not get in those schools and certain colleges over there. They just wouldn't let you in there. And you couldn't get a job teaching school unless you were a Christian. And school teachers, when I was going to school, they opened the prayer service. They opened the school in the morning, they served with a prayer and song. But today, they have cast God out of everything they got. These are rulers. No wonder the Lord said, pray for the rulers. They need it bad. And so they put everything that pertains out of God, and they don't want you. They even are talking about getting in God we trust out of the silver coins. Gonna try to get that outlawed. And so this Madeline O'Hara, you've heard of her, she was the one who started that stuff. And to show you how far our rulers and governors have gone, they took side with her and passed that. Get the prayer out of the school. Those supreme judges.
Yeah.
And when they did, that was a foundation that the wicked had destroyed.
Yes.
If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We can pray. That's one thing. And thank the Lord for that. And so those are one of the foundations that held this country up and held it together was prayer. They believed in prayer. They believed in God. Somebody said, well, it might have been Sister Lawson. I was speaking about when the Mayflower sailed over here this way, brought those people over here to freedom. And America was called Christianized America. Bless your soul today. The wicked is going to be turned into hell, and all the nations have forget God. And if there's any nation around this earth of ours have forgotten God, America has forgotten. All right, what are you talking about? We got more Christians? No. You got more churchgoers, no doubt. But when you get in there, they're waiting, they're in a hurry, watching their watches. And I had one woman to rattle her key on me, wanting to hurry up and get through so I can get out of here. And when you get in that shape, children, and we come to the place where we come to the house of God and get anxious about, be glad when the preacher quit, you need help and need it bad. It's kind of quiet in here, but it's true anyhow. May the Lord help us. Then we'll turn around and say, oh, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'll be glad when he quits so I can get out of here. Something ain't working right, that sound like to me. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord, then I'll be glad when he quit. Keep watching the clock. Our clock in our little chapel is back here. And I've been trying to figure out a way, and I just figured out a way how I can get it back there. So when you go to watch the clock, you got to turn around, and everybody's going to see you before you turn around, just a handful of us. But up here, they sit back there, and they watch that clock close. I see Brother Collie got one over there. It's battery run, I guess. Ain't no electric on it. I'm going to get one of them and move that thing back from up there and sit it back here. Because, you know, sometime when the Lord is leading you in the pulpit, and the devil will get a hold of something and distract the preacher and make him lose his thought. He's trying to think in a way, make him lose it. May God help us. All right, the part out of this one here is having done all to stay. May the Lord help us. Don't be a pushover for the devil. You know, we used to go to school with Great big fellow, used to live right around Bakersfield. Brother Carter knew him. I think he moved back to Los Angeles, but he was a great big boy, and I always was a little skinny fellow. And I would just push that boy around and beat up on him. He wouldn't never turn his hand to do nothing. He's a Watkins, Buddy Watkins, we call him. He lived around Bakersfield for many years. And now they tell me, I called a fellow in Los Angeles. We all grew up together out in Oklahoma. He said, Bruner, he said, Buddy as big as a young cow. I haven't seen him since he left Oklahoma. I said, if he's that big, I certainly wouldn't want to beat up on him now if he's that big. And so, having done all to stand, all right, when we begin to feel pressure, we're praying anyhow, pray some more. Because the enemy, the scripture said, will come in like a flood. Anybody know what a flood is? You ever seen these rivers get out of hand, get loose? That's exactly the way the scripture said the enemy comes in like a flood. But the Spirit of the Lord, if you're armed with the Holy Ghost, it'll lift up a stand against him every time. And so we need to be well armed in order to stand. Because the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. All the promises of God is yea and amen. Yes, you can have them. They are yours. He that sanctifieth and those that are they that are sanctified are all of two. Oh, one. Bible readers. They're all of one. And for this call, for this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's our oldest brother. And he said again, I'll be a wall of fire around about them and the glory of God in the midst of them. What are we afraid of? Be not afraid, 'tis I. The God whom we serve is watching over the camp of the saints. Nothing can touch you except they touch him first. And he permitted it to happen, and whatever he do, it's for our good. All things work together. Oh, that's a hard thing sometimes.
But having done all to stand, they'll call you crazy.
They will speak evil about you.
People will talk, you know. They may not know what they're talking about, but they will talk. God bless us and help us out, because eternity is looming in sight. It's very close. Sign in the cemetery says, I once was where you are, but you soon will be where I am. It's a sign hanging in the cemetery. And it's a fact. It won't be long. Every one of us will be gone from this time world. And we got to prepare for a safe landing on the other side. Wherefore, or for this reason, or this cause, or this is the reason why, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Just keep standing. Things will come, and it looks like they're going to overwhelm you, but as long as you have not sinned, long as the faith and the mercy of God is still upon your soul, you can ask for what you will. Let's see how that scripture said about he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. And he said again, though I bear long with them. He's going to bear with, that learns us some patience when he bear long with us. He don't come that time we ask him. Though he bear long with us, I tell you, Nate, I will avenge my elect that cry unto me day and night. I believe he said somewhere along there, speedily. He ain't going to desert us. May the Lord help us. He's going to be right by our side. And he said, I saw this morning about there's no temptation taking you, only that which is common to man. God is faithful, who will, with the temptation, make a way for you to escape that you may be able to bear it. He enters right in that temptation with you. And, yea, let's see, what did I say about six troubles? But the seventh, that's a knockout blow. He ain't even going to come nigh you. Hallelujah. Amen. Seven means complete in the Bible. Complete overthrow if seven will come up. But six trouble will come to you. But the seven, God will take care of the seven. When that blow is struck, he takes care of it. Lord is my light and the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Having done all, just please God. Be little in your own eyes. Stay humble. Love God with all your heart. Love his children. Do everything you can to help them out. Do everything you can to help the church move on. Fulfill your place well in the body. Every saved person is a member of the body of Christ, the family of God. He's a member in there. And you may be for the part that's for the arm or to do things that people can't do. And there have to be some feet. There has to be some going. And all of those things. And every member is to be working in his own place. And if you work according to what God tells you to do, you'll never get in nobody's place. Your own gift will make room for you. Having done all to stand, just stand there for. Well, they said, look what I'll miss if I'll get saved. I'll tell you, you need to look what I found when I got saved. I found it, Lord, in thee. It's an everlasting store. Joy, comfort, bliss to me. How can I wish for more? There's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. But I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. And so we mean to go right on until the crown is won. We haven't made it over there yet. Having done all, stand therefore. Having your loins, your very insides, your thinking, your mind, your heart, your desires, all of those things, have them girded about with truth. And truth is unyielding against sin. It don't yield. Amen. Just keep standing. The devil may run upon you sometime like he's going to run over you and go destroy you. But who's that Moses told the people back then in the wilderness, stand still and see the salvation of God work?
Stand still. Don't be afraid.
The devil's behind them with all of his host. Red Sea in front of them. Those mountains on each side. Where are we going to go? Stand still and see the salvation of God. There was no bridges across that place down there where they went. There might have been some somewhere, but where they went, there was no bridges there. God will make a way somehow. Brother Chandler used to repeat that. I heard him say that several times. The Lord will make a way somehow when beneath the cross I bow. I don't know what the rest is on, but he used to quote that quite frequently. And so may the Lord help us out this afternoon. He will. And I'll tell you what will help him if you be humble. Humility will make a way when there's no other way out, look like. You humble yourself.
Yes, Lord.
I did something to a man one time. And it's just a little...
Wouldn't amount to very much, but you know those old-fashioned wood milk crates had a cutout place where you carry the milk.
Yeah.
And we used to stack them up in the factory where I was working at, give them and set them over there. And every day, they would come and grab them crates and take them here and there over there, and I would have to go around and pick them up. I went down to one of them great big machines one day and got a handful of that old black grease and stuck it just under that. Out of sight, but just under that hook. I'm sitting all watching. And that fella ran up there and grabbed that thing like that and got all that grease on his hand. He cursed. Got mad. He said, "You know one thing? I've never seen a man would do something like that and admit that he did." He went on back to the washroom, washed his hands off, and he never bought them crates no more. Left them there. God will make a way somehow. He might have slapped me down because he was mad. But God will make a way somehow. Having done all the stand, just keep standing. Who have, Timothy? 6:18-19. Just keep standing. Keep living for God. And let's see. Find Romans 14:4, I believe it is. But let's have this Timothy 6:18-19.
That they do good. That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. Laying up in store.
A good foundation.
Against the time to come. They may lay hold on eternal life.
That's far enough. All right. Saints has to be taught. Young saints, when they come in, they have to be taught. And young folks, stay little in your own eyes. Be subject unto the elders. Let them teach you. And some of us, I was one of them raised up stingy. If I got a hold of $10, that was my $10, and nobody gonna hardly get none of it. But looking at Sister Grimes, old grandparents and other rest of the saints around there, watching them and hearing them testify, so forth and so on, I had to be taught that it's right to give of your money. I didn't know about them. Stingy, very tight and close. And so I got that real good. Just common sense tells you these lights don't just come on by themselves. They have to be paid for. This building has to be maintained. A lot of things have to go on. And I got that real good. Well, I went over there to that big town, and my brother-in-law out in Oklahoma told me, he said, "You ain't going to get no job. You're too little." My brother-in-law was a man by the name of Brother Archie. We went together. And I was there 2 days, not a job. And he was there, must have been 4 or 5 weeks before he ever got one. And I worked myself up and I started making it as time went on. I'd give whatever the Lord just lay on my heart, I'd give it. Sometimes I'd give my last $10. And the Lord began to bless me. I finally worked myself up too. I was making about $55,000 back, way back in the 60s and 70s. And I gave it to the saints. I didn't try to save it.
I've sent it all across this land. I'm not bragging, but I want to tell you something. I'm making a point out of this. You cannot beat God giving. And we didn't give it because I knew He'd give it back to me. I gave it because I loved Him, and I love God. I love His work. And that's one way to prove how much you love God when you come to your pocketbook. You don't love God like you should. You're not going to be easy on. I mean, you're not going to be hard with your pocketbook. You're going to keep the most of it there. And everywhere we heard of the saints had a need, we'd tell them a while, I'd tell them a while, write them out a check and send it to them. And poor people, and crippled children, all of those different kind of organizations that helped out crippled folks or crippled children, we gave big to them. And I have never wanted since I quit working. My wife had a hard time convincing me you need to stop. I said, how in the world are we going to make it here with? I had two homes, I had two cars, I had two trucks. I said, how are we going to make it not drawing a payday every Friday? She said, that's all right, we'll make it. She finally convinced me to get out of it. But what really helped her, I had a bad stroke. That helped her side, her cause right there, because I began to think, man, you're going to mess around here scrapping at this and scrapping at that and kid yourself. Die, and the scripture says we'll gather this and gather that and get, and you may die and leave it to a fool. When I had that stroke, I started slowing down right there. I had that stroke, had a bad one right down across here. This was paralyzed. No feeling, no nothing. I couldn't make my eye, couldn't whistle. Spittle would just run out the side of my mouth. And I was in that situation for about 3 or 4 weeks. My wife was down low sick with gallstones at that time. And when I had that stroke, I didn't even feel nothing. I didn't feel no tingling or no nothing. And I was sitting down doing something in the garage there where the trucks was. And when I went to spit, it just drifted off the side of my mouth. And I looked. And I come to myself, bat my eyes, and this one here was standing wide open. Draw a little bit. Mouth draw here. And I had heard them telling about Sister Bell, Sister Frances Bell, and had a stroke. And I recognized I had had a stroke. And at that time, I had to carry my wife. If she moved out of this chair to that one, or would the bathroom, or whatever, I had to carry her. She was down with those gallstones. And I'd always approach her, and I'd keep this side away from her. Didn't want her to see it, because she's already in a bad shape. And whenever she knew anything about it, I told her. The Lord healed me after about. I told some of the saints about it. And the Lord healed me of that thing. And it wasn't too long after that, I said, well, I'm getting out of this business. I was self-employed. And since then, I own more clothes than I've ever owned in my life. I don't never need to buy any more clothes if I can keep from getting fat. And I've never missed a meal. You can only wear one suit at one time. You can only eat till you get full. You got to quit. And the Lord has supplied my every need ever since. I needed an automobile. I might have told this before. I love to tell about what God can do. I needed an automobile. We got a call out of northern Wisconsin to come up there and hold a revival. My car had 179,000 miles on it. And I said, told my wife, I said, Reagan, that car will make it up there? She said, oh, yeah. So Brother Humphrey out in Oklahoma, he paid us a surprise visit. We were there praying for an automobile. He said, Brother Bruno, I want a good used car. He said, give me a good used car. He said, don't ask for a used car. Ask for a new one. He said, the Lord just as able to give you a new one as he is to give you an old one. And you know, right then, this was on a Friday, right then, a man that's a friend to the saints, he's not saved, had bought a brand new 9-passenger station wagon, Chevrolet Caprice, brought it to my house, gasoline tank full, insurance paid up for 12 months, and he gave my son-in-law, he said, give these keys to Mr. Bruner, this is his car. And when I got home, they wouldn't call me and tell you, normally would call us sometime, too. When I got home, my car lights were shining in on the garage, and this new car was in the garage. And my wife said, there's a car in that garage. I said, oh, no,
That's the shadow of this car we're driving. I got my little goods and went on in the house. And I heard her say, it is a car in this garage. My ears pricked up there because there didn't supposed to be one in there. And I went out there and heard this brand new Chevrolet station wagon sitting up in that garage. Since then, I met the man that gave it to me. And I was just, well, you can imagine how I felt. Never knew it. So I went to the dealer. I said, how much this car sell for when it's new? He said, it's listed at $17,000. But they sold it out, whatever, they cut this and cut that. Here I am. I said, look out, Wisconsin, we're on our way now. We sure is coming. I've got a new car to ride in. And so it's still in good shape. That was 1985. 2 years ago, I was working for an old rich woman, and I charged her $300-something to do the job I did, and my brother-in-law was with me, and she gave him the car first, and he said, I can't drive. She said, well, it's got to get out. I've got to get it out of here. I said, well, I'll take it. Give it to me. And it's an 80 or 82 Malibu, and I like it better than I do my station wagon. Got everything in it. Just, it's a nice automobile. If I needed to come to California, I'd drive it out here as fast as I would any place there. And I tell you, Jesus has been so good to me. Why would I want to turn him down and go back to the beggarly elements of this world? Go out there and go to eat and husk with the hogs. All right. May the Lord help me. Stay with God and be encouraged while you stay. Lord, renew our courage. Sometimes discouragements will come, but we don't have to pick them up and carry them. Lord, renew our courage. And I believe the Lord told Joshua one time to take courage. Sometimes, you know, Abraham, when he offered up his son, he was on his way up there to take his life. And the boy said, Father, Dad, or whatever you call him, here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? You know that old man's heart was heavy. The Lord done told us to take your only son and take him up there and destroy him. You know his heart was heavy. You know how he felt. He said, the Lord will provide. And he told those servants, you tarry here with the animals. We're going to go yonder and worship. Now, he ain't going to be able to kill the child, but we're going to go up there and worship, and we will be back. We means more than him. Me and the boys coming back. Sure enough, they came back. Because God provided them. When he tied him and laid him on the altar, laid him on whatever it was they built, on top of the wood, I guess, and got his knife out. They showed a picture of that fixing to stab the boy, but that's not the way Jewish people, because Abraham was not a Jew, I don't think. An animal, when they're going to destroy him, they slit his throat. They don't stab him. They usually take him and slit his throat and let him bleed to death. So, Abraham, I know you love me now. God knew it all along, but he wanted to learn Abraham. Let Abraham see, learn him. I know you love me now. You have not withheld thine only son from me. And from then on out, the Lord blessed Abraham, and through Christ, Abraham's seed, we are blessed. That reaches down to me and you today. If you'll serve Christ, God, Abraham is our father in the spirit. And if you'll serve Christ like you ought to, that makes you Abraham's seed. Let's see. Someone get 3:16 Galatians. Read that for us. Soon as you get it. Having done all to stand, lay a good foundation. Give. You know, a sacrifice is not much if you just give of the abundance and you've got plenty left over. A sacrifice means to give until it hurts. I have a need of this, but I'm going to give it to God because the work of the Lord needs it. And you can be sure the Lord will not. He may not give you back $10,000, but I'll tell you one thing. You won't have no want. No. You won't be left out. He'll take care of you. Galatians, was that 3:16? I think that's right.
Now to Abraham
and his seed,
where the promise is made.
Say it not.
As
seeds as of many seeds.
But as one.
But as one.
And to
and to thy seed, which is Christ.
Bless the Lord. We are Abraham's children down through Christ. Father of the faithful, Father of the righteous. And he said here that you do good. Be rich in good works. Good things, you can't do too many of them. Over there when he named off those things, in the, right here in Galatians somewhere, and he named off certain things, he said, against such, there is no law. Do all you can. Because the Lord has need of you. Every one of us has a place we can fulfill in the work of the Lord. And when you do that, you're laying a good foundation against the time to come. As you go on, the storms are going to blow against your little building. But if God is keeping your house, if you belong to Him as you should, the winds may blow. They are going to blow. The storm clouds are going to rise. But I'll be with you even to the end. All the way I'm going to be with you. God knows about His children. He's going to take care of them. We shall trust all to Jesus, though we do not understand why the clouds often hide the shining sun. We are safe in the darkness while protected by His hand. Soon He'll give to us the crown which we have won. We shall run till goal of life is won, and we'll never look behind us as we go. At the ending of the race, we shall see our Savior's face, and the mysteries of heaven we shall know. There's a great reward waiting for His children. Oh, sometimes we look when the Lord took Brother Hargrave, it was such a blow. I had an airfare, round trip airfare to Miami, but I just could not bring myself to going to look at Brother Hargrave. Laid away, I couldn't do it. Been pretty close with him. Worked with him in several places, several meetings. And I just could not. I wanted to remember him as he was the last time he visited our place and held a week's revival for us. That's the way I wanted to remember Brother Hargrave. So I didn't go. It was a real blow to the whole Reformation. Not to me, but the whole Reformation lost something when we lost Brother Hargrave. He was one of a kind. Man, it's a very good brother. He's mentioned, he said, I want to fall on the battlefield. They tell me the last message he preached, he was just about ready to fall, his body had swelled up on him. And he just couldn't make it. I think some of the things got scared. I wouldn't have got scared. I know it's Brother Hardy, but he looked such terrible condition, swole way up, and he just couldn't make it up there. I think it was the last message he preached. And he'd often say, when I fall, I want to fall on the battlefield. I want to be out working somewhere when I leave. And that's exactly what he was doing, almost to a T. He passed on shortly after that. Lost a good man, good brother. My brother Wilson the same way. I was in Brother Wilson's home just a couple of months ago. Spent quite a bit of time with him. But those times will come, a man's bound or set, that we cannot go over them. We cannot. So we talked with someone since I've been here. This, he said, I just can't understand why the Lord took Brother Hargreaves and Sister Fuller. Sister Fuller was another asset to the Church of God. Brother Keith's mother. You talk about a lady that left here with victory. She told Brother Keith, son, I want you to be with me when I pass over, when I cross over. She knew, she felt she was going to die. I guess the Lord might have showed it to her. But I thought sure she was going to live. I was disappointed. In that sense, and then I was walking along one day in the chapel, walking along just thinking, and something told me just as clear as you told me, Sister Fuller is not going to make it. I stopped. My wife was sitting back there on the bench. I said, you know one thing? I heard a voice just tell me that Sister Fuller ain't going to live. I said, but I hope I didn't hear what I think I heard. I just hope that's not what I heard. So he goes back home that following week. I was out of town. And we went back home, and she sent for me and Brother Fuller. She hadn't been downstairs for several days, about 12 days, maybe more. Very low sick. And when we prayed for Sister Fuller, we went on downstairs, and she got up and dressed and come on downstairs. I said, look here. I said, she's going to get well. And I believe she died the next day. The next day or the next 2 days, something like that. And Brother Fuller was over in the bed, over in the corner, and he said he heard her make a noise, and he got over there. When he got to where she was, she's already gone. Just slipped right out.
Brother Brenner?
Yes, ma'am.
I talked to Sister Wilson yesterday, and Brother Wilson, when he had this attack, was in a meeting at Neosho, and they had to carry him out.
Mm-hmm.
He was right in the harness.
Yes. Old battle axe. Sin wrecker. But he's over there resting now, waiting for you and I.
Amen.
All right, we're going to quit shortly. Let's see. I gave out Galatians 5 and 1.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ
just keep standing. Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free.
Be not.
Don't go back and start dabbling with those things you used to hoot. Leave them alone. They'll prove a detriment to your soul every time. That's good when we get saved, burn the bridges behind you.
Yes.
Don't leave no escape hatches to go back there. Stand therefore in the liberty. Free. I am free. The Lord has saved me. I was back yonder burdened with my sin. But he whispered meek and lowly, come to me. I'll take you in. Now, the liberty and the freedom that God gives us, you want to trade it for to go back to eat in the hog pen with the swine? Lord, he said, will you also go away? To whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? When you turn this down, it's no use you going out yonder joining St. John and St. Mary and them kind of things. What the saints, what they already know and understand, and our children also, you cannot get saved out yonder. God ain't going to save you out yonder when you left this. No. No, he would be dishonest to do it. He won't do it. And for that cause, stay with the saints. Because if you go out yonder, you're going to get in trouble. The liberty. Those people that's out in those places are bound this morning by sin. And there's some out there here and there would love to have what you have. They don't know how to get it. Somebody teach them. We had a lady up home. Got saved in one of those big places over there. She got sweetly saved. And the Lord began to deal with her. They was in their Bible reading every week, had Bible reading, and the Lord began to make this thing so clear to her, she started crossing the preacher. And you know what the answer is when you cross the preacher out there. It isn't long before you're going out the door. They can get saved in there, but if they stay saved, they can't stay in there. Because God is going to talk to his children wherever they are. A lot of people get saved in there. This sister got saved and she began to see, well, this don't mean that. This means something else. And when she did that, him and his, you know, they always got a bunch that's going to hold up for old Dr. XYZ anyhow. They began to treat her real bad and she came over to us. We were glad to have her. Woman was saved. And her husband tried to kill her. He was one of them that stayed over, that was over there, and he jumped on her one morning by 4 o'clock and tried to kill her, and she called around. And she finally called me, and I talked with her quite at length. And she owned a home about 55, 60 miles away from there. And he threatened to kill her so bad she had to leave home. She had to leave there and go back over there. Which, when she come to the light of things, she couldn't stay anyhow because she was in double marriage. She couldn't stay in there anyhow. So God has some sheep that are not among the saints of God. wandering around on the mountains and on the hills here and yonder. But there will come a time, if they stay saved, they're going to hear the voice of God somewhere and they're going to come out. The call is, the cry is, come out. And when they hear that, they will obey and come out. All right, let's see. What else did we have? I told somebody to get something a while ago. What was that? Oh, yes. All right. That'll be for our conclusion, I believe. Just a minute, Brother Crooker. I got one to read here. I'd like to read this before we get to that one. Then we'll have to stop. It's in Chronicles 29. First Chronicles 29. It's concerning David. Let's see, I believe that's correct. No, that's not. Oh, yes. No wonder I'm not in Chronicles. 29, start reading at the first verse if somebody has that. First Chronicles 29.
Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation,
amen,
Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen,
yes,
is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I prepare with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass,
mm-hmm,
and the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined, mm-hmm, silver, to overlay the walls,
amen,
of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?
That's far enough.
Amen.
All right, you see what David did? He'd gotten old and he couldn't. He was preparing for the house of God. And he said, it's unto God, I have set my affections to the house of my God.
Yes.
And we see how the Lord blessed David, took care of him through a lot of perils, a lot of dangerous places. He loved God. He worshiped God. He served God with joyfulness. One time he said, I feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Or something like that. I don't know what he said, feel, but he said, run through a troop. Run through the devil's lines of battle soldiers and leap over a wall.
Yes.
And when his son turned against him and he went off with a certain amount of men with him, and they were there trying to plot so they could catch David. And one man told them, you know your father. Or you know David. So he said, know your father. He will be like a bear robbed of her whelps. In other words, if you don't be careful, you're going to get killed yourself. Because he was a fighter. He was God's man. And God had kept David all the years down this time. And if you want to get hurt by an animal, you mess with her young ones. And they said, your father will be like a bear robbed of his whips. And me and my two nephews actually got killed one time by a great big hog, a big one. We went across that field, and I told them boys, I said, now, they were little fellas, little boys. I said, don't you say nothing out there. I said, because there's a hog out there got some little pigs, and if you mess around with them, them hogs will kill every one of us. Them little nutty boys went on our cross, and one of them got out there close to where the horn and squealed. And here come this big hog. I was so scared I didn't want to run off and leave them little fellas. But if that hog would have got close enough, they would have been just ate up because I'm getting out of there. And I kept yelling to the top of my voice, and she ran right up close to us and then stopped and just stood there and looked at us. Turned around and went on back. What I'm saying is they said David shall be as a bear robbed of her whips. And I'm going to tell you something. Any animal that has young, that's one thing about it. You know, everything will protect their young with everything they got but a man. You see these dirty things that men are doing to their little children. Some of them their own children.
Yeah.
But every animal will protect his little ones except a man. And I'm not all men. I'm not being critical. But some men will not protect. They'll do their little children. I know one right now that was abused by her father, and she'll never get rid of that thing. It affected her mind. Father and grandfather of them children. May God help us. Fight the fight of faith, children. Stay safe. Stay encouraged.
Amen.
Ask the Lord to help us out, and He will. He'll never leave us. He promised to give us all the things that's necessary. I have given unto you all things pertaining unto life in God. Whatever it takes to make it through this world, God will see to it, as long as we stay with Him, that you're supplied with the things that it takes to go through this world. Now, David, he said here about the talents of gold somewhere along there. The dictionary gives one talent of that fine gold as anywhere between $25,000 and $30,000 of our money. And here he had given a lot of gold and a lot of silver. And then he...
Yes, sir. The fourth verse says 3,000.
3,000 talents. All right, so I noticed some here. Some, yes, thank you. 3,000 talents of gold. The gold of Ophir. That they say that's fine gold. Real valuable gold. Some gold is better than other. And here he is, had prepared all of this because he said, I have set my heart and my affection to the house of my God. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above.
Amen.
Not on these things, because everything you can see is transitory. It's going to fade away. But set it on those things up there that are eternal. Going to last forever. All right, for conclusion, now, Brother Clifford, what are you, 14 and...
Who art thou that judgest another man's servant?
Amen.
To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand.
That's good enough. Amen. If we want to stand, God will see to it that you stand. Let's see, there's a song says something about, though a thousand shall fall by my side. People will be fed, and you can be sitting up in the meeting house, mind you, sometime, and maybe there may be a person sitting right beside you dying, and you may be having all kinds of pressure put on you. But if you stay with God, the willing and the obedient, He shall eat the good. Not maybe He's going to eat the good of the land. The things of holiness. The things that God gives. The things that are eternal. I'll make Him stand. Who art thou that judgest or condemnest another man's servant? What are you doing then? God didn't give you no job to condemn somebody else. To His own master. You call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. He is our Lord and Master. To His own Master He standeth or falleth. Yea, He shall be holden up, for God is able to make Him stand.